discussion, and I didn't really know what to do with it. Because culture and race came up, and I was surprised that I had never noticed that before, and surprised that it wasn't occurring.
Well, I'll tell you why. Culture and race have to do with content.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We're looking at process.
Yeah, but there's cards like sexual issues are a theme, or self-image is a theme. I mean, I would make a case that maybe culture is a theme.
Is a theme? So what was the... I didn't view it, so...
So this was the session the week before her birthday where Lene told her, I'm not bringing you a cake. And Cheyenne cried.
The session before or after?
It was the session before her birthday. This was the first time Cheyenne said, oh, it's your birthday next week, and, you know, you've been asking for a cake, and I have to tell you today I'm not bringing you one. And Cheyenne cried for largely the whole session. So there was a little bit less data to work with, since she really cried for, like, 20 minutes.
Right.
And then she didn't talk.
And then
that,
it was silent, parallel drawing for the 20 minutes.
And they just, like sat there across the table from her, and she drew, and... And then just was silent, like, watched her draw, and then, of course, at the end, she wouldn't leave, as usual.
Yeah. There were things, like, I didn't have trouble making my distribution, though. I found, like, there was a lot to say about the session, so I didn't feel like, like, there were cards I didn't know what to do with. Like, yeah, I felt like it was, like, a normal coding, even though so much of the session was, like...
Yeah, yeah.
But there was very little play to code for, but a lot of emotions to code for, and therapist.
I had emotions. A lot. I had like all my a ton of cards towards more characteristic, and I just had to push everything down. So, I also like tried kind of a new way of. I usually do three piles of cards at first, and then each pile I break into three different piles.
That's the recommended approach.
Well, I tried a kind of a different method this time of setting up actually nine piles and like trying to do each card in relation to the other cards, because I thought maybe it would be, I don't know, things were going fine before. I don't know why I decided to change things up, but I did do that, so I don't know if that had any effect on...
I would think that would be harder to do.
I like the nine-pile way. I started doing it about halfway through the year last year, and it worked better for me.
I start off
with nine, and I keep in mind sort of how many cards I want in each pile, and so I... think of each card about like, well, first, I mean, I think of it in terms of, is this at the end or this end or in the middle, but I sort of make the two decisions at the same time. I sort of say, okay, this card's going to go somewhere up here, and, you know, I wouldn't say it's the most important thing, but I'd put it in maybe seven or something, and I make both decisions at the same time. But I find that works better for me. So it sounds like you did it the way I usually do it.
Look where it got you. No, I'm just kidding. So did you do that last week?
No, I just did it for the first time.
Okay,
yesterday.
But you did it. You did the nine piles.
Oh, yeah,
last
I've been doing nine piles, you know, for a long time.
So I didn't really hear from your comments what actually made this session culture bound or...
Oh, before, there was about 5 minutes of session before Lene brought up the birthday cake that, you know, they're just short, sort of, it was sort of more non-directive, and Lene had her glasses on for the first time, and Cheyenne was not happy about her changing her appearance, and they discussed that, but then...
You know why? Because of Audrey Constancy issues.
Oh, interesting.
She's not the same therapist if she's wearing glasses.
She did say something like, it's like you're a different person. And she said, and she started comparing Lene to all these people, like, my grandma wears glasses, and I don't like, you know,
but she has a reason to wear them. You don't have a reason.
Yeah, you don't have a real reason to wear them, and why don't you take them off? And so how did this get on it? Oh, she asked Lene, are you from a black family? And Lene said, what do you think? And Cheyenne said, no, because you're white, you must come from a white family. And when I said, do you come from a black family? She said, yes, but my sister is white, but she comes from a black family. And I'm tan, but I come from a black family. And, you know, what does that mean to
come from a black family? But her sister's actually black.
Yeah, but she called her sister white. She said she's white, but she's from a black family. I mean, her sister is lighter skinned than she is, and she might refer to her as lighter than she is. I think Lene said, what color are you? And she said, I'm tan, but I'm from a black family.
Uh-huh.
So she's putting them in terms of skin tone. And Lene sort of explored with her, like, what does that mean? And what would it mean if I came from a black family or a white family? And sort of explored some of Cheyenne's fantasies about her family. So, I mean, it wasn't across the whole session, because then the birthday cake got brought up and then the whole rest of the session was about that. But I just found that I thought it was an important piece of play and important in the transference, and I really didn't have a way to code for it.
Well, you know, sorry to interrupt, Dustin, but you could code it under therapeutic relationship is related to outside relationships.
I did. I put that one high.
Okay.
I put that one high because there was just a lot of transference.
But,
in
you
the
know,
session
as far
general,
as a theme, know. Yeah, I mean, sexual issues are a theme. I guess there could be an item, you know, ethnic issues are a theme.
I could make a case for it. I mean, I think, you know, it's important. Can't have 101 cards, though, and I know Celeste had a really rigorous system for narrowing it down. She probably started with a ton of topics, kind of like a qualitative data experiment, and just found which ones were most important. So, but it was hard to just know that there was a piece of play that I thought was important, and that
was the substance
time,
of her dissertation.
That was the first time I ever felt like there was something I wanted a card for, and there wasn't a card for it. So,
and I guess
the first time I came across that problem.
The fact that we are in New York City, it makes it like even more important for us, because we, you know, if we were to do this study here now today, probably it would be easier to have that item in as one of the important ones, because it would come probably up more often.
Well,
if you do it,
she developed this instrument in the Bay Area of California, which is very ethnically diverse.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just her sample, like they didn't call for it, like maybe the sample didn't happen to be diverse, or like the people didn't happen to have the topic coming up and didn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the founder, the developer of the adult version, which also doesn't have a cultural card, is Enrico Jones, who's Latino and black. So you'd think he would put it in. I think it goes back to this culture, I mean, this content versus process question.
There are very few content cards, so they tended to pick just a few.
I think the ones that would be associated with more Freudian kind of thinking, like aggression and sexuality, you might put those in as content cards. But otherwise, it's a very process-focused instrument, hence the name Child Psychotherapy Process Cue Set. So they're focusing on the process rather than the content of the. I think that's what Celeste would say. I mean, I can ask her and see what she says, but I think that's what she would say.
Right. Yeah, because if we're going to cross that content barrier, then there's like a million cards that we could create. But I thought,
absolutely,
you know, if we just get to have a few content-related cards. I don't know, maybe because I'm taking like three classes on culture right now, but it's like so present in my mind that, you know, culture just is so pervasive and can't be ignored. So I just.
And there's no card on homosexuality as a theme.
Right. I mean, there could be some. Part
or
that
income
is.
In disparity of income was a theme.
Yeah. I mean, I put the card for self-image as a theme high also, because Cheyenne talked about, you know, what color she was and what family she came from.
Right.
So I did bump that card up as well as cards comparing the things to other people in her life, because that was part of it too. So there were cards that, you know, got bumped up because of it. It wasn't totally ignored.
Is her mom white?
Cheyenne lives with her grandmother, who's black, and her. So her dad is black and her mom's white, I think.
She definitely is not a black kid, is that she is?
She's multiracial. So,
definitely.
I mean, it's such a salient issue for her to say, my sister is white, but we live in a black family. I mean, right there is who's white in the family, who's black in the family, who's light-skinned, who's dark-skinned. I mean, I would think it would be.
I think you can distill it to questions of identity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And that would be self-esteem issues. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Celeste would say.
Yeah. Good.
What do you say, Celeste?
All right, so that was my non-related to the bad correlation question.
Okay. How did you handle the cultural aspect? Did you represent that piece of play in any of the cards, any of the items?
I don't think I coded any cards specifically for that. When I was going through the cards, for some reason, I don't think I remembered about that. Although that is an important part. But I think maybe...
Because that might be an area of disagreement between the two of you.
When you talked about the theme, though, I mean that, but it really was, it was just a quick conversation. It didn't last any longer than a minute. So, it didn't really come up in my mind when I was going through the cards, I don't think. But, also there's some things that I, like when she mentioned about how there was a lot of transference going on. There's some things I think that I still just don't know about that are, I don't think I put the card very high about outside relationships.
Yeah, there's a card like child makes parallels between or comparisons of the therapist with other people in her life or something, or mm-hmm. other makes links between other interpersonal relationships, something like that. And she said a lot of things like, you have glasses like my grandmother, my mother mm-hmm. wears contacts, you look like this teacher I saw on TV once, and because you're wearing glasses, and you know, my grandma, you know, gets me a cake, but I wanted you to get me a cake. And,
yeah.
You know, there was just a lot of, Kia got me a cake, but you're not getting me a cake. Yeah, and it seems like
Kia
created a lot of
holidays.
I wasn't
Kia's
supervisor.
Mm. I think she was working in a different modality, but that was... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she definitely can try to get Kia. That's what you do with Kia, babe. Kia brought me cookies on Valentine's Day.
Kia's phone number is...
That's
one question. And then she said...
She said, do you know, I didn't catch that. Call Kia.
Do you know what Kia's phone number is?
Well, it's splitting. It's totally splitting.
She was just keeled over sobbing for 20 minutes. Yeah, poor Lene.
When I was recording that video,
she tried different ways, but
they were like in the other room, and
she was comforting.
Crying going on for like a
she
half
was
hour.
Comforting.
Eventually, finally, they're like, "What is going on? What can you turn that off or something?"
Oh yeah, John was thankfully out of the house, or else he probably would have thought that a baby was crying or something. Heart-wrenching. Oh, nice.
I don't know why this is in red, but...
Because you're so angry about this. December.
I was trying to figure out if any of that crying... Did you think any of that crying was just to get a reaction or just kind of...
I couldn't tell, like, because the camera wasn't close enough that I could really tell if there were real tears coming down, but at times I felt like it sort of died down and she started it up again, and I've been there. I remember when I was a kid and I'd start feeling better, but I'd make myself keep crying to sort of, you know, be indignant or, you know, show the person how sad or mad I was, and, you know, I think it did go on
for right
a very
now?
Long time. I can make myself cry on cue, yeah. Sometimes, not right now.
Cool actress.
If I can think about something very sad. Today I showed my biology class how I can cross one eye in and one eye straight.
Really?
Yep,
it's true.
I know what, I'll do it later.
Okay, so item 17. Therapist actively exerts control over the interaction. For example, structuring, introducing new topic. So, Laura said, yes. Mm-hmm. Lene was doing that, actively structuring the session. Dustin says, no, she was not. It's a 5-point discrepancy there.
Mm-hmm.
Put the gloves on.
Let's get it on.
I warned Dustin earlier that I looked at all our big discrepancies and I was going to throw them under the bus. I stand by all my...
She said she was
going to
kick my ass later.
Yeah. Well, you asked for a fight.
Well, did Lene impose a structure on the direction of the interaction? Did she introduce a theme of play? Did she suggest that the child take on a specific role? Did she engage in play to impose new themes? Did she teach the child skills or alternative ways of behaving?
Okay, it wasn't a CBT session, which is why it wasn't a 9, but I thought it should be marked that the whole session followed from the fact that Lene brought up the birthday cake and very specifically brought up that Cheyenne's birthday was coming up, and Cheyenne was still off talking about the cultural stuff, and Lene actively changed the topic and said, let's talk about your birthday, and Cheyenne was sort of doing something else and didn't really engage, and Lene said, did you hear me? You know, I want to talk about your birthday, and about how you wanted a cake, and I assume that in supervision you had talked about the fact that Lene needs to bring up that she's not bringing the cake in this session. So I could see Lene's mind at work saying, I've got to bring up the cake, but, you know, I don't want to be directive. But she was directive. She had to say, Cheyenne, are you listening? And get her attention and say, I got to tell you, I'm not bringing a cake. And the whole rest of the session was the way it was because she directed that. So
I would put it in a 5.
Maybe a 5.
2 is totally inappropriate. Okay?
But 7's too high.
But a 7's too high. I'll tell you why. Because this little girl seized control of the session and wouldn't let go. She controlled the whole remainder of the session with her crying. The whole crying was a massive, successful attempt on her part to wrest control away from Lene. And it sounds like she succeeded dramatically.
Yeah. Well, I thought
the session came to a screeching halt.
Yeah, there was a time towards the end of the session where Lene was able to, again, directively redirect her to drawing and said, you know, and so Cheyenne just cried for 20 minutes, and after 20 minutes of trying to console her and engage her in talking about it, which Cheyenne resisted, then Lene said, Cheyenne, would you like to draw? And that was directive again. You wouldn't say that in a non-directive play therapy session. You wouldn't say, would you like to draw? Here are the drawing materials.
You're right.
So she was trying to sort of refocus her and...
But that was near the end.
And you recognized that in other cards, too.
While she was crying, did the therapist intervene relatively infrequently?
Yes. She let her cry it out.
So that would be more uncharacteristic.
I didn't think that that was the only topic that she introduced. I thought that the whole time. I mean, I guess everything that happened was because she brought up the birthday cake. But I did feel like from the second that she came in, Cheyenne was just running around the room, throwing the... Was that this session? She was throwing the ball in the beginning, and... Yeah, she was just running around, like tossing the ball around and kind of being really critical of Lene wearing the glasses. Like, I don't like you with those glasses on. I don't want to talk to you with those glasses on. And then Lene's talking about that. Then finally, she brings up the birthday cake, and then from then on, there's really nothing else. So I just didn't think that she was structuring. I just didn't see her as like structuring the session that much, other than that one sentence. So, but I guess for a 2, it would have to be totally like she doesn't say anything, right?
Yeah, like a 2
very
would be like all the other sessions are are more like a 2, because you know usually in the session for that show. So I did want to I felt strongly about making a distinction. I know we're not supposed to compare this to other sessions, but I mean, knowing what orientation she was working in, I think that did affect my thinking in putting it on the high end, because I was kind of placing a distinction like this was an intentionally directive session, and that the point of the session was to talk about this birthday cake issue, and that's what happened. But I could come down a little bit, because it still wasn't like a CBT, like skills training session, and she could have, there were a lot of times where she could have jumped in and taught coping skills, you know, with the crying and stuff, and she didn't
Run, you know, started a running dialogue in the middle of the crying spell. She let the crying go on and on for 20 minutes and didn't intervene.
Yeah, she did. Every once in a while she said, do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now? Or she said, it doesn't mean I don't love you, and I want you to know that I care about you. And she would say these little things, and then let Cheyenne.
Very reassuring.
Very. That card was like an 8 or 9 for me.
She said, I still love you, and she hugged. She was hugging her.
I care. It doesn't mean I don't care about you. We can still celebrate your birthday in other ways.
Lene said, I still love you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She says all the things.
Was that mad?
She said something like, you know, it doesn't mean I don't love you.
She says, I still love
you. I don't care about you. I mean, I thought it was. But I could see. I mean, I just felt for Lene in the session because you have a child who's sitting there crying and you do care about the child. And, you know, and I.
But, you know, what Lene and perhaps you aren't appreciating is that this is a very hostile act on the part of the child to manipulate a Lene into having her bring a cupcake in the following session.
Yeah.
That's the part that's missing.
Well, that's why I put the card for therapist emotional conflicts in treat. I put that a little on the high side.
Sure.
That, you know, when she said, I still love you, I thought, you know, what is she worried about?
Exactly.
What is she wanting to tell Cheyenne? I mean, that's, you know, in her heart what she wanted to tell Cheyenne, but maybe not.
She could have said. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about bringing the cake? You said it wasn't her supervisor when Kia brought the cake.
Right.
I was just curious, like, about your opinion as far as bringing the cake and what that would play. I understand that
the cake is an action. It's not exploration. It's not trying to understand why the cake is important. No explanation or no understanding takes place if you're actually enacting something. And when the Kia brings in a cake, she's enacting something, and it doesn't get understood between the two of them what the meaning is.
Would you like? I was always like picturing.
It's a kind of behavioral intervention.
Is it?
Yeah.
It seems like a reinforcement, I guess.
No, for me, it seems like.
Well, are you reinforcing? Does anyone know?
The child's birthday. They exist. You're reinforcing their existence.
It seems to me very supportive. Yeah. Like
it is.
Somewhat like you matter type.
So then you don't explore with the child why they feel they don't matter. See, that gets short-circuited. That whole understanding or exploration of the child's worries about not existing or being invisible, that gets shot to shit because you're trying to convince the child you do matter, you do count, you aren't invisible, I see you, I love you. Well, then you're just shoving down below the repression barrier all the worries and anxieties that this kid has that they don't exist. And you don't get to explore it.
Would it be better if you...
It's anti-dynamic. Anti-dynamic.
Would it be better if you explore it once the cake is there? Like, so how did it make you feel? Was it important for you? What did it mean?
My experience with that is that the kids, once they get what they want, they don't care about exploring. They just wanted the cake. This is what I've heard. You know, why'd you want the cake? I don't know, I was hungry.
Yeah, it's kind of like if the child asks you to self-disclose, and then you self-disclose, and then ask them, why did you want to know? Or what
do you think? Oh, I just want to know.
Then they already know. But if you have to first ask them, you know, why is that important? Or what do you imagine? You know, what do you think? Do you think I'm married? Or whatever, you know, or else, I guess...
I'm just trying to make distinctions for, like, the value of that in different contexts.
Yeah, I think... Let me build on what Laura just said. There is an underlying fantasy. And psychodynamic therapy is all about uncovering unconscious fantasies and helping the patient understand how these fantasies rule their lives, rule their actions and their behaviors. There's a fantasy there about Lene being Cheyenne's fantasy mother and being the mother that she never had. And so if you give her the cake, she doesn't have to uncover that fantasy in therapy. You could ask her, well, you know, what's this? Why was it so important for me personally, to give you this cake? You know, it's my birthday and I was hungry. Then she doesn't have an impetus to explore that unconscious fantasy. It never comes to the surface, and it continues to rule and dominate her life.
Why can't you explore first?
Yeah.
And then do whatever. Like, with a self-disclosure, like, often you will...
Sometimes you say something like, well, I'll tell you at the end of the session,
right.
But first let's explore it. She could say,
right.
But maybe that would still be too tempting if she said, "Well, I'll bring you a cake, but first
it'd be very seductive and almost of a teasing nature." I think that's how that would be interpreted. You know, "I'll tell you, but you first got to play my game first. Mm-hmm. You got to submit to my control, and then I'll give you what you want. And then you've got another dynamic going on. I think it's best just to say it's not going to happen. Let's talk about why this was so important for you."
Well, in order to kind of save the relationship, because she's clearly, Cheyenne is clearly going to be mad at not getting the cake. In order to save, like, to get past that without holding things up, do you think a good idea to just, like, put it on someone else, like my supervisor said, "I can't bring cake"?
Well, then what you're doing is you're relinquishing responsibility. And you're saying, really what you're saying is, "I don't want you to be mad at me. Mm-hmm. Be mad at somebody else, because I can't handle it.
But I just feel like
I'm going to crumble."
Yeah, like, give, that was the emotional conflicts part again.
I just feel like it's almost like the child feels like that a personal, like she feels personally, what's it called? Just like, Monet is purposely not withholding a cake from her.
See, but that could be explored.
Yeah.
"I feel that you're purposely withholding a cake from me because you feel that I'm a bad daughter." Mm-hmm. Okay, Linnea, well, let's talk about it.
Yeah, Linnea asked such a good question. She said, "Do you imagine I bring cake to other kids?" Or something like that. Just because, I mean, Cheyenne really wouldn't talk about it, so Linnea was sort of guessing, I guess, at some of the fantasies that she might have, because she really wouldn't talk about her fantasies.
Right.
So Linnea said, "You imagine I bring cake to other children?" And Cheyenne said, "Yeah, but you bring cake, why don't you bring cake to me?"
So then what's explored then is why this particular child considers herself to be inferior to other children or less loved. And it just so happens that in this particular family structure, this girl feels less loved in comparison to her sister, who Leia is treating right now.
The younger
sister?
Yeah.
Yes. So you see how this all fits in, but you see how all of this discussion would be short-circuited by giving him to this kid.
Yeah, we see the sister a lot at the end of the session. She comes in.
Oh, well, she comes in to get her prize from the prize box.
Yeah.
Which, again, just reinforces the feeling that I'm not as special as my sister.
Yeah, and she.
But Cheyenne gets a prize from the prize box.
Well,
right?
That's what
Didn't
I
she?
Heard.
Because they had to. Well, they had to make it fair with the two sisters.
I told Linnea not to do that last year.
Oh, I thought.
And Cheyenne ran out of the room when sister came in, didn't she?
Yeah, she was like done with the session. She had a hard time finishing, but then once. The sister was talking to her, and she ignored her.
This year, it's much easier because I'm supervising both cases.
Oh, so now nobody gets a prize.
Nobody gets
it's
a
all
prize.
Fair. Jeff is the mean supervisor withholding the cake, withholding the prizes.
Yes, touchdown.
your mark is made. The mean supervisor.
The mean, I'm the bad object.
But I really felt for Linnea because Linnea was torn between wanting to save the rapport and wanting to hold firm. And she didn't give in to the cake, but she did a lot of comforting and rubbing her back and, you know, telling her, "I still care about you." I saw her with that ambivalence.
See, that just
reinforces the whole rapport, though?
No, of course not. She'd be back to her old self the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Chris had no problems with this, by the way.
Yeah, he told me that.
He had no problems whatsoever with this girl. He would never rub her back. He would never tell her he loved her. These are all reinforcing the acting out behavior that this child is showing.
Ooh. I mean, reinforcement.
Reinforcement.
I'm being a little eclectic there.
Well, but I feel like maybe we should also consider, like, I mean, in the situation, I think Linnea 2 years ago had a baby almost. Like, she had a very little child.
Because
I think he was, like, going into kindergarten last year, like, some sort of preschool. Preschool last year, so it means that a year before, he was, what, 2? Mm-hmm. So I guess for a mom, a very fresh mom, having a child that is, like, in a way neglected or, like, had a very sad story, is, like, a very new thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it plays, you know, a very big part.
That topic, and I don't want to get into it too much, but that was... That took up a lot of time in our supervision. So it's very insightful on your part.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just say something about the what happens at the beginning?
But I didn't, I just want to interrupt here and just say, I didn't know half of what was going on. I just want to clear myself.
But you didn't watch the videos at the time?
She would bring in videos and we would watch portions that she selected.
That's the danger in doing your dissertation on your session.
And having the dissertation mentor be your former supervisor.
Now I feel like I've tattled, but I can understand where she was in the session. Because watching the session, I was like, is this going to kill the rapport?
Yeah,
and just feeling like, you know, I mean, it did tend towards to be a more supportive session by the end,
but do you know that this behavior continued for the rest of the year? I mean, you'll see that.
I heard. Yeah.
And you know, Chris never had this problem.
I know. I was surprised.
And so all the reinforcement and reassurance and I love you and rubbing the back.
Do you think it's a gender thing too, though? I wonder.
I don't think it is.
But it would like help the nail.
The mother transference.
Okay. I feel like Chris was benefiting on one more year of therapy and one year farther away from Cheyenne being removed from her
home. She had a birthday.
No, I'm saying. But it's like, I think, I don't know, I have no idea how the kid was with Chris, how she's now, how she's doing, I don't know how her life is proceeding.
No, this girl has lived with her grandparents since she was 14 months of age.
Well, 14 months of age.
Yeah.
No, probably, you know what, like, okay, I'm writing this paper that's due tomorrow on her, but because I don't have information about her, I said I don't have information. I said I know she was removed, I never know when, and I kind of made my own fantasy when this happened, and in my mind, it happened right before she started therapy with Kia, but it's my mind, it's like...
The removal from the home.
The removal, session, which doesn't matter. The teacher doesn't care. Like if it's not true, like it was based on my assumptions, and clearly my assumptions were completely wrong. But I guess that's why I have this image, like because I've been working for 2 weeks on a paper where she was just removed, and it's playing out the removal. So,
yeah.
But she was never was, I guess.
But you know, just to test out your theory. So she has a female therapist this year, and she's going to have a birthday this year. So let's see what happens.
But the thing is, it's like hard to compare her at age 7 with her at age 10.
It's still the latency period.
No, but I'm just saying, like, she's had, like, years of therapy between, you know, and, like, just the
Maybe Lene cured her so that with Chris she could have a more mature
relationship.
Okay.
And Lene.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to throw Lene under the bus. You know, I felt like it was a different kind of session from other sessions, and I sort of looked at
it. Well, I'm no longer supervising Lene, so really, I don't really care. I just want to get these sessions coded for her dissertation. But I think you guys, some of you are still in supervision.
It's a good learning experience.
Sure.
Well, it is, because
my heart
mean,
went
we
out to that
and
kid, and I wanted to rub that kid's back, too, and I'm learning from this.
Did you do that last year?
No.
Why not?
Because he never bawled for an entire session.
He was
And I think there's, I think gender plays a role. Little girls, I think, pull for more from me. I mean, I just, you know, but I'm aware of my own.
Fathers and daughters? You don't think fathers and daughters?
Maybe.
Male therapist.
I'm even, like, being, I feel like, I would never be able to even talk the way I do in my, I'm just doing like group counseling sessions with severe persistent mental illness, and I feel like I would be lost in there if I hadn't been doing this whole thing. I wouldn't have no idea how to even act in that room, and I just feel like kind of more comfortable and like I know something, you know, just from doing this.
Definitely. But she is a very, I mean, to me, it seems like she's not the easiest child. Like, for example, my CBT child.
No, she's borderline. I mean, we all figured that out.
She's very.
I'm not telling tales out of class here. I mean, you're coding this child, but I think you all know by now. We wouldn't be able to diagnose her that formally
because
she's not 18, but come on.
But she tends, like, and I mean, and her history, personal history, probably doesn't help her too much in this.
No,
like
it doesn't.
Compared to like my child, like the CBT, good child with good family, that's just anxious and is afraid of characters in costumes. I mean, it's very different, you know. And I have my own anxieties in there, like, and I still feel like I don't necessarily know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I can't picture, like, if I picture Lene her first session, like, and then having seen other sessions, I'm like, oh, I feel so bad for you having a child.
And like
it's good
for
it's a good experience.
She pulled for a lot of counter transference. I mean, Renee was totally upfront. She said, this is my dissertation, you know. I have a lot of counter transference towards this child, so, you know.
That's the point of her dissertation, yeah,
I
guess.
I can see it.
So your guys' job is not to protect Renee.
No.
Your job is to faithfully represent the observations that you make in the card arrangements.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
Just so we know. So let's continue. So I think we...
Just to reinforce what we were just talking about, can I just mention what happens at the beginning of the next session?
Sure.
Right? Well, as soon as she comes back the next week, when they're like, hey, how are you? How was your birthday and everything? And she's like, how are you feeling about, you know, what happened last week? And she's like, what do you mean? And she's spinning in her chair. And she's
wait,
like,
is, now this is a session that you guys...
No, we haven't
coded. The next
session. Oh, so don't say anything.
Okay.
Don't talk about sessions that haven't been coded.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. No.
Go ahead, Dustin. Just
what we were just talking about was right. Okay?
You're out there and you're loving every minute of it.
I know it's hard to separate like the clinical issues from the coding issues because I tend that way too. Is like I want to use this as supervision, but then I forget that we need to get back to the discrepancies in the coding.
Right.
But of course, yeah, I'm so curious.
But with sessions that haven't been coded yet,
we'll
you don't want to influence people's judgments if that session is going to be assigned to them.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then you could be unconsciously influencing how they're going to place the items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just confirm something we already said. That's it. That's all. I wasn't going to say any new information.
All right.
Well, I guess.
But you were to apply it to a new session, old information.
Yeah, you're right.
Which would bias how people look at the new session.
Okay.
All right. So, we talked about 17. And we go down to 24.
There are some doozies in there.
24. Therapist's emotional conflicts intrude into the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think both of you should put it in a higher category than you did.
Yeah, now
Dustin, looking there's
back,
no excuse for
I'd
a
like
one.
I think I'd like to put it higher.
There's just no excuse for a one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say a 7, 8. And I haven't even watched the thing, but for the way you guys have described it, you've got to be a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
Saying you love a patient and are rubbing her back, cognitive behavioral people wouldn't do that. It shows a conflict about a girl in distress and how am I going to solve this and being conflicted about it.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Not about the coding, more like a clinical issue. You don't think it's wrong to say you care about a patient as if a sick person?
I wouldn't do it.
So you wouldn't even say I care about
no,
it?
No, would not.
So what would be a technique instead?
Well, give me the scenario.
Like a scenario where she feels rejected because she doesn't want to buy her a cake. And then
it seems like maybe you feel as though I don't care about you.
And what if the girl is like, well, do you?
What do you think? Do you think I care about you? I come here every week. I see you for 45 minutes. I give you everything I've got in my communication with you. Do you think I care about you or not?
No. Then what?
Well, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you feel that way?
So you wouldn't even go there.
I wouldn't express. I wouldn't make a self-disclosure. No.
I just feel like for a child, it's so much harder to get that across than for an adult. Like an adult, it's so much easier.
Just keep this in the back of your mind, though. If you say, yes, I care about you, then you completely eliminate any possibility of discussing why this kid feels that you don't care about them. In spite of all the evidence to the contrary, you're there with them every single week. You don't miss a session. You know, you're in contact with their parents, you're in contact with the school, you're working your ass off. Why would the kid think that you don't care? Well, see, you can't have that conversation if you say, then, I care about you. Whoop. Then there's nothing to talk about. You've just lost an opportunity to explore with this child why they feel you don't care about them. You've just eliminated that, you've taken that off the table. we can't discuss why you feel I don't care about you, because I just told you I do care. And also, added to that, this kid might not believe you. Oh, I don't believe you. Say you care about me, but I don't believe that. So you're back to square one. You try to convince this child that you do care, and the kid doesn't believe you anyway. So what good did it do to tell this kid that you care about them? Didn't do
it's
anything.
Like, it's making yourself feel better in a way, and that's
exactly. It's for the therapist's benefit. It's not for the child's benefit.
It's very difficult to separate it in the beauty contest when you're using something like that. Because when somebody's excusing you, if you picture like a love object that tells you you don't care about me, and things like, what are you talking
about?
Sure,
if it's your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or wife, of course you're going to try to be reassuring and, you know, this is a different relationship.
Yeah, it's very difficult to, especially with a child, because childs are vulnerable and children are vulnerable. Like, mm-hmm. The first thing you feel like doing is like,
I do care, let me hold you.
Them. Yeah.
Especially when you know the child's history and the child has been, you know, pooped upon their whole life. It's, you know, to put it nicely. I mean, it's really hard.
The kid knows that. The kid knows that you know that, and then realizes that you have a vulnerability and then tries to exploit it.
Because
there's aggression involved here that I think it's easy for us to forget, because, you know, Cheyenne's so cute after all, right? She's very cute, lovable.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me that the crying was an aggressive act until you said it.
Right.
I mean, I thought, oh, poor Cheyenne, and
how do we?
You know, when I put that down, all I was thinking about is how she wouldn't drink cake, and I was just like, oh, she's, you know, not being emotional, and I totally locked out in my mind that whole part of her.
But you know who got it? You know who picked up the countertransference? Nobody in this room. Dustin's father. Picked up the counter transfer. Was it your father who said, shut that thing off? It's irritating me?
Yeah.
Your father picked up the counter transference. He's more of a therapist than all of us here.
Well, he was the only parent, though, here.
That's true.
And you guessed at Lene's feelings as a mother. And I, watching this session, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, what is Lene feeling right now? Because, you know, you sit with the silence. You sit with the crying. And hard enough to sit with silence, but to sit with a weeping child, I mean, it's very difficult.
Especially when you feel like you're the reason why this child is crying. It's horrible. It's got to be horrible.
It's guilt.
Yeah,
but,
it's like, oh my God.
But to rub the child's back is to relieve your own guilt. Yeah.
And say, I love you.
How do we know it's an aggressive act? Like, I understand that as an interpretation, but how do we know that interpretation is
It's exaggerated. It goes on for 20 minutes long. It's noxious. The sound of it is noxious. We have Dustin's father indicating it's noxious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's disproportionate to what exactly is going on, mm-hmm. right? And you know this girl, I mean, you know, I think I know, this girl is doing this to get Lene to change her mind, because she has some sense that if she cries hard enough, Lene will eventually be overwhelmed with guilt and go back on what she previously said and end up with bringing in the cupcake.
And she would be reinforcing this behavior by doing that.
Absolutely.
If she were to bring in the cake, I mean, not that she was thinking of it, she said no, but if, let's say, a therapist would do that.
Right, and so this kid gets the message, mm-hmm. oh, well, whenever I want something,
if I cry hard enough,
eventually I'll get it.
Once you take a stand, you really have to stick with it. Yeah, I mean, definitely. If you promise a cake, you'll bring a cake. If you say you're not bringing a cake, then
right.
that's it.
I'm
not
going to
bring cake. The deed is done.
I mean, to her credit, Lene didn't bring in the cake, right?
Yeah, she did.
But she, you know, I think she would agree to this. She groused about it the rest of the year, that she should have brought in the cake, she shouldn't have listened to me. So she had a lot of regret about not having done it.
Because I guess she felt the guilt, like, the child is problematic, and probably wouldn't have been problematic with any therapist, but...
It's a problematic child.
Do you think if she didn't react that way, when she was crying, that she wouldn't have ended up regretting it as much, because the child wouldn't have continued to act that way?
I'm not sure. I mean, I have a sense, and believe me, I've only looked at a handful of tapes, but I have a sense that Lene probably conveyed a sense to this child way before this session that she was manipulable. I'm just guessing, but that's my sense of it. And so by the time this cake episode came, this child was fairly confident that she could get Lene to change her mind by crying so hard.
Mm-hmm. Could I just be like a borderline despair type of thing? Not necessarily like to change her and bring in a cake, but more of like, this is like the good mother who's now becoming like the bad mother, and this sort of like...
Well, I'm not disagreeing that's what's going on, but I mean, she might want to manipulate the bad mother to become the good, weak, vulnerable, naive mother to bring in the cake again. She's exerting influence on Lene to, you know, like a projective identification, to control the object from inside, to get into the person's feeling state, and to actually put pressure on them to become the object that they want them to be. I totally think that's what was going on.
What if she started pretend playing that she had a cake? And said, here's your cake.
Well, that's what I told Lene to do in the following session, which I can't talk about because you guys haven't heard of it yet.
Yeah, my ideas were like maybe they could draw a cake or play as if they have a cake with the kitchen or sort of some way to symbolize it. But you know what?
To symbolize,
but
exactly.
But Lene kept saying things like, you know, we can celebrate your birthday in other ways. What are some other activities we could do next week to celebrate your birthday? And Cheyenne stuck firm. She said, but I'll have nothing to eat on my birthday. The important thing is that there has to be something to eat on my birthday.
See,
and I wish they had explored the concept of food and eating.
Exactly.
More. But maybe that came later. Lene
is basically using a cognitive behavioral intervention. What are some alternative ways of thinking about X? Mm-hmm. That's a totally cognitive behavioral intervention.
Cheyenne used a great analogy. She said it was like Christmas.
Christmas with no Santa Claus. But she just held firm to this idea of eating on her birthday. And Lene did
say
something
like,
could we
pretend
we have a cake? No, I'll have nothing to eat. And, you know, the importance of food in this child is overweight for her age. And, you know, it's just the importance of,
She is.
She's overweight for a child of 12. She's like 7. Her little sister also.
But Cheyenne also is overweight, and she also has some eating issues, but I don't want to get into it.
She looks puffy.
Is that your patient?
She looks like she's got a little bit of a butt, but like a good looking.
But I mean, children, you judge children by a different standard than us. Like, that body type at our age might not be overweight, but in a child, children are supposed to have a very different body type than an adult woman.
If you look at her grandmother, like, she's doing
in that video, I think I'm 7.
I don't mean to say it's a bad thing, but I think that's a role.
Like my client, my adolescent client, like I described her in my intake report as slightly overweight. I mean, then she's definitely overweight. She's twice the size. I mean, or twice the size. I don't know. Like, I guess I tried to be very.
We all have our own feelings about.
I try to be very like.
We want to be kind to people, but I mean, when I see an overweight child, I think you know that this is. I think it's an issue with children.
No, it is. That's an issue.
Remember the Anna Freud paper?
Almost all the girls.
Oral greed is a way of expressing one's jealousy and rivalry with competitors, the siblings, to get all the mother's resources.
Yeah, there's no mother there. So
let's move on, shall we? We're procrastinating. 24?
We just did that.
We just did that one. Okay, so let's continue. Yeah, I don't know. Don't hold back, Leia. Just... 45. What were you thinking? Therapist tolerates child's strong affect or impulses. Therapist allows or helps child to express strong affect without modification, either verbally or through action. Uncharacteristic if therapist disapproves or attempts to manage, redirect, or inhibit child's strong impulses expressed verbally or behaviorally.
Okay.
You got 9 for Laura and 3 for Dustin.
I was torn on this one, but if I was torn, you'd think I would have put it more in the middle. I don't know why I put it in 9, but I know I was. I remember feeling torn because I thought that maybe some of the supportive and comforting things that she said could be thought of as redirecting, but I don't know if Lene had intended them to be redirective. I think
it doesn't matter.
Well, but I would think of it as kind of
intentional. She's managing and redirecting these child's strong impulses because she can't handle them.
Well,
it's a three. It's a three.
Yeah, but a three to me means like a CBT therapist who says like, oh, you're crying right now. Let's practice our coping skills or our imagery. I mean, this is what I do with the kids at the hospital. We do imagery. We do.
I love you. I still care for you. Same thing.
Rubbing the back.
I agree.
It shouldn't be a 9, but she did let her cry for long periods of time.
While she's saying, "I love you," here, let me rub your back.
Once every 8 minutes or so.
I have to agree with Dustin on this one.
Can you not let her cry? I mean, you don't have the option.
Yeah, but a therapist might be like, "Okay, if you're gonna, I'm gonna come back later," or you know, like.
Here, would you like to draw? She said that a few times.
Once, yeah, she did say it once, and Cheyenne did respond, and then they drew for the rest of the session in silence, and so it was a redirection. Yeah.
Okay, so
nice.
Dustin gets this one.
Right.
Or should she just wait it out and not try to intervene when she's crying? Like, just totally wait out.
I would ask, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Tell me what you're feeling.
And she did. Every few minutes she said, you know, would you like to 51. Talk about your feelings? Can you tell me what you're feeling right now?
Before we finish, can I just say something about our session that I think it's important?
Yeah.
It's like, as I said in the email that I sent you, I could not hear that session.
No, I know. It was a very early session. It was the second session.
And I was waiting.
So it's going to get better.
No, but I'm saying, I was waiting to see a 0.3 reliability. I was like, I couldn't hear what they were saying most of the time. I just like watched the non-verbal. I was like, I'm just going to focus on nonverbal because I don't hear anything they're saying. And we got a 0.71. So, I mean, I was curious about what your thoughts are.
Just turn down the audio on all of them?
It's like, I guess maybe there was like, maybe there was less to code, so we agreed better on the few things that were left because I don't know. I was like, I was really surprised when I saw
it. Well, a lot of these items rely on verbal discrimination, so we do need the audio.
No, we do. But
I think it was good fortune that you two got
you think it's just
reliable.
I just was curious.
It's skill.
No, it
you're
was like,
so skilled that you don't even need
it. So.
You're just like this. Your mind.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, wow. I guess maybe all the verbal ones end up in the middle. Like, it doesn't apply. Like, everything's like, did they talk about this? I have no idea. It's like, so they all end up in the middle.
Oh,
so maybe that was, I don't know. I was just curious because I was really surprised at this one. I was really like, is that really mine?
All right. Child attributes own characteristics or feelings to the therapist. So this is a projection.
No, what did I do?
So this was Laura at 5.
That's why I'm a 5, because
Dustin
at
9. You thought this girl was projecting all over the place. You're the one who's sad. It's not me who's sad. You're the one who's losing your birthday cake. I don't care. Did she say that?
No.
You're the one who's going to hurt next week, not me.
I guess I was interpreting the card wrong. I thought it meant that she was blaming the therapist for her not feeling good about her birthday. That's what I was thinking.
It has to be the therapist actually feeling what the patient feels. So, patient's feeling sad or angry. You're angry, you're sad.
So that could be more of like an externalizing. When she externalizes the problem, sort of.
Yeah,
like the one that's like child blames
exactly.
Others for problems.
Mm-hmm. There's another card for that.
That's what
one could be high
in
the session.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. 54. Child is clear and organized in verbal expression.
Yeah, because the child was crying, a lot of the things that she said were kind of muffled, and Lene did have to ask a couple times, like, what did you say? But she didn't ramble. I mean, she just didn't talk very much at all.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Dustin?
I just thought that she, was pretty clear most of the time. That's the general feeling I got, I guess.
But if she's sobbing for 20 minutes
And
maybe saying a few words in the middle of the sobbing that can't be understood, that's half the session.
I thought crying maybe didn't count in her.
Well, it's crying, but if she's trying to talk through the tears and not making sense.
Mm-hmm.
Although you're right, I could hear most of what she
said. Even when she was crying, I knew what she was saying most of the time. She was just like, you said you were not going to bring me a cake, it wasn't really rambling or digressing or vague at all, so
It was on top.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a 6?
Yeah, I think definitely.
Okay, so 82. Therapist helps child manage feelings.
Again, I make the same argument, like she didn't help her count to 10 or give her any coping skills. I mean, she did just let her cry it out. But we could make the case that, by comforting her, that's helping to manage her feelings. But I felt like she was more trying to manage her own feelings, Lene's own feelings, and trying to salvage the relationship. I didn't see her as trying to get Cheyenne to not feel sad anymore.
But she did intervene.
I thought it was significant
Did she try to encourage elaboration?
Yeah, she did say, can you tell me how you're feeling right now? Or.
So already that disqualifies her from a 1.
That's true, encourages elaboration.
Okay. How about a 6? But you, by your own admission, said it can't be a 1. She did try to encourage elaboration.
Yeah. But it helps her manage overwhelming or difficult. Like, she wanted her to be sad and express that.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
All right. Therapist is neutral. Laura 7, Dustin 3. Dustin, there's no way in hell she's neutral. I love you. Huh?
Right, Dustin takes it.
Dustin's right.
It's characteristic if she's neutral.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Dustin,
Laura.
Dustin takes it. I know.
I love you. How's that neutral?
Yes.
I would even think perhaps a 2.
Takes a particular stand.
I love you. That's a particular stand.
Yeah.
That's a very strong stand.
One swallow does not make a summer.
Yes.
That's your favorite thing to say.
Rubbing a girl's back. You never touch a child. You allow passive touching, which means if a 3-year-old sits on your lap, you don't push them off. You never actively touch a child. Ever, ever,
never
ever.
Never,
never, ever, ever. Do not do that. Do not touch a child.
Unless you're using high fives as a behavioral reinforcer, well, right. Like I do at the hospital.
Right.
Remember on your website we thought that you were picking up your client.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
But for the longest time I thought you put your client on your webpage. I'm like, Jeff, that's so weird.
Give us a picture.
It's just a weird picture. Look at his website. There's like this strange
My
picture.
Nephew, you I'm holding him upside down.
Oh.
And they thought it was a patient.
That's your girlfriend's son?
Bad.
Huh?
That's your girlfriend's son?
Yeah.
He's cute.
No, not son. Nephew.
Oh, her nephew.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah,
your
yeah.
step-nephew kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, a patient upside down, that gets you in trouble.
No matter what your purpose is there, the parents are going to take it the wrong way. Especially if you put it on a website.
Is
this what therapy is? You turn my child upside down?
Yeah, I was like...
Let the blood rush to his head. Wow. It's like this new EMDR, blood rushing to the head.
That's right, you know... It fills it with oxygen.
Mixes up the brain.
Yes. Therapy relationship.
It makes a traumatic experience.
Therapy relationship is disgust. So far, no one has said anything about the therapy relationship being disgust.
Well, she did ask Cheyenne, like, do you think this means I don't care about you? Like, you
all right,
know,
that would count.
I do care
you know
about
why
you're
you.
Here?
Didn't
you
she
know,
say
like,
you know
why
you're
here? She said that?
Didn't she say, do you know why you're here?
I don't remember
them
telling about the reason.
That's a different item. There's discussion of the wild child in therapy.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think that's what I was thinking.
I mean, I love you. Regardless of how horrible that is to say, it is a lame attempt at discussing a therapeutic relationship.
And here it is. The child makes connections between the therapy relationship and other relations. So when she says, like, Kia brought me a cake, but you're not bringing me a cake,
no,
you know, like that.
I don't know about 8, maybe a 7, but I can't see a 4 on that.
What
do you
it?
Say, Dustin?
What
in your defense.
Mine is 4?
Yeah.
And that is saying that...
98.
Which way?
Well, was the therapy relationship discussed? And Laura just mentioned a bunch of ways in which it was. Even just saying, I love you, is a lame way of discussing the relationship. I mean, that is a discussion.
Okay.
It involves two of the three words are I and you. So,
yeah, like
anytime I and you is in the same sentence, that's a discussion of the therapeutic relationship.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was giving a reason why I thought they had discussed their relationship, so I don't know why I agree with that.
Right, you had it in 4, but I think 7 or 8 would be appropriate for that.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
See you guys next week. I gotta run. So, Dustin, you get us... videos
mm-hmm.
over the weekend. All right.
Jeff, are we still meeting or not?
Huh?
Remember, we had a meeting today at 6. But if you can, you can do that.
Oh, no,
time.
We...
The 23rd at 6.
Today's not the 23rd, it's the 22nd.
Okay, that's tomorrow. Great.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
Don't scare me.
No, Wednesday's your time. You're dead.